Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Since President Donald Trump started his mass deportation efforts, thousands of people are being arrested and detained across the country every day. Some of those detainees end up at the Phelps County Jail in Rolla, a city most of them have never been to or even heard of before.
The officers don't speak Spanish, and well, when they come talk to you, you really don't know what they're saying.
That's 24-year-old Fernando Herrera Cruz, who has spent the last 3 months locked up in the Phelps County Jail. Since March 19th, more than 200 U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, detainees have been taken to the Phelps County Jail in Rolla. Some are there for only 1 day, while others have been detained for more than 2 months. They arrive with no possessions and limited ability to contact their loved ones or legal assistance. In response, a group of about 50 Phelps County residents have come together to try to provide comfort and assistance to the detainees. The group's president, Amy Beechner McCarthy, said she was inspired to begin this work after hearing the news that an ICE detainee died shortly after being placed in the jail.
I have just been overwhelmed by everything that's been going on, and I listened to a podcast that said, what are you going to do? What's something you really care about? What's something you want to do? What's something you will do? And who will you do it with? So I said, okay, we're going to start communicating with the ICE detainees. We looked up the jail rules. What can you do? We have started a not-for-profit because I love human beings. I mean, I think that's the hardest thing is that people have made an other. And these aren't others, these are us. I mean, this is who we are, human beings. And when a human being is hurt, then we're all hurt. So the way to change the world is through love. It just is.
For more on the work of Abide in Love and how immigration advocates are responding to the president's deportation policies, we're joined by St. Louis Public Radio editors Jonathan All and Brian Munoz. Their reporting on this story came out yesterday. Jonathan and Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Elaine.
Hey, Elaine.
So, Jonathan, what is it specifically that Abide in Love is providing these detainees?
Well, the first thing they did is they started by making sure that each detainee got a care package, and it had some snacks and hygiene products in it, and it had a sticker on it with a message in English and Spanish that just kind of said, you know, we're here, we're going to reach out to you, we're going to try to help you. And so then their next step is to, there's an app where the people in the jail can text or make phone calls. They're all monitored, obviously, because they're incarcerated, you know, they're in jail. But they can use that to contact people. And Abide in Love gives each one of these detainees a few bucks so they can at least start the process of texting or making phone calls to their loved ones, telling them where they are, and start making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they've just been trying to do things like be able to buy more items for them, hygiene, some clothing things like socks and underwear, and do that through the jail commissary.
Mm-hmm. And how common is it, Jonathan, for detainees to lack these things that you've described?
It's pretty standard, but I think that what a lot of the ICE detainees have going against them is that, again, they don't speak English and they don't have family nearby. If you are in the Phelps County Jail and you've been arrested in Phelps County, presumably you have family nearby, and it's you speak English, so it's easier to reach out and at least have some kind of support. And I think that is something that the ICE detainees don't have. Some of them have come from as far away as Chicago area to be detained in Phelps County, so it's not like they have any kind of network or support nearby, and that's what Abide in Love seems to be trying to provide.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of distance and proximity, Jonathan, you spoke with Abide in Love member Max Toline, who shared with you that he was upset to learn that there is an ICE detention facility in his neighborhood.
I only fairly recently learned about this.
I didn't feel any connection to anybody who was behind those walls, because I assumed that they were all people who had definitely been picked up on suspicion of crimes that they committed locally, and that there was a good reason for them all to be incarcerated, and they were all going to get a trial, and that due process was going to be served. And now that I don't have any of that confidence anymore, because as we have seen, there are plenty of ICE detainees who are picked up without any charge at all, and there isn't going to be any due process at all, or at least no certainty of due process. Now I'm kind of horrified by the way that this is being done, and I'm a little upset that the people of Phelps County, who may not want this at all, have become unwitting participants in it.
Jonathan, is what Max shared here a common sentiment among a Biden Love members?
Yes, I think that there are definitely a lot of concerns, because one of the things that definitely, there are two things that really brought them to action. First, the ICE detainee who died in ICE custody, who was at Phelps County Jail, would be the first thing. And then the second thing was Carol Mayorga from Kennett, Missouri, who was picked up by ICE, spent time in the Phelps County Jail, was ultimately released because she's in the country legally. I think those are the two things that really sparked them. So I think it was the knowledge that these federal detainees were in their jail, that a lot of them drive past every day. It's right off the main drag here in Rolla. I think it was that knowledge that they were there that spurred them to action.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian, you've been reporting on the effects of President Trump's immigration policies, particularly in the St. Louis region. Are you finding the same concern regarding due process in these cases?
Absolutely. I think the way that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement operates is this rural network of jails. And, you know, that like a Biden Love in Rolla, there are support groups and other organizers across the state and across the country that are doing or trying to do similar work. In St. Louis, there's the Rapid Response Network /hotline, who is providing legal assistance and legal intake free of charge for these folks who many times don't speak the language, as Jonathan mentioned before. And, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, the folks in the legal system, like a lot of the volunteers, have spoken about being stretched extremely thin and not necessarily having all the resources they wish they would have to be able to do this work effectively.
Mm-hmm. When we introduced this story, we heard the voice of Fernando Herrera Cruz, and he was brought to Phelps County Jail from Lake of the Ozarks in early April. Brian and Jonathan, you both were able to speak with him by phone, and he told you that conditions at the jail were pretty tough.
No salimos a ver el sol ni a tomar aire. Estamos en un pequeño lugar, 15 personas. Como les digo, no respiramos aire puro, no miramos el sol, solo hay una pequeña ventana hacia arriba que entra poquito sol. Pues una hora lo que entra de sol.
Now, Brian, what is it that Fernando was saying there?
So Fernando's saying to the effect of, you know, us that are detained here at Phelps County don't go outside and see the sun or are able to take in fresh air. We're in a small room with about 15 other people. The pod is what he's referring to. And he talks about not really seeing the sun other than a small window at the top of the room that lets in light for about an hour a day. But this isn't uncommon for a lot of facilities that don't have an outdoor recreational space. You know, reporting we've done here on the CJC, the City Justice Center, St. Louis's jail, folks we've spoken to there have also spoken about, you know, similar concerns. So unfortunately, it's a byproduct of just some jails and prisons, you know, in our state.
Mm-hmm. How is it that Fernando came to be detained by ICE, Brian?
Yeah, so the most recent occurrence was that Fernando had been working roofing in Camdenton, a small town near Lake of the Ozarks, or in that general area. And he spoke to us and said, I was leaving a job site and I had one of the tires on my trailer pop. And I broke down, was stuck in the middle of the road. And there was another man, local guy, American, who had stopped, you know, hey, you're blocking the road, was pretty frustrated with him, said, well, I'm going to call the cops on you because you're just blocking the road. And he's like, I'm in the broken English that he's able to, you know, explain my tire, you know, I'm trying to fix this. He calls the cops show up, you know, ask him for identification, obviously can't provide identification, he's without legal status, so he gets taken in and turned over to ICE. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, Fernando was one of the ICE detainees who has been helped by the work of Abide in Love volunteers. And clearly, I mean, there was no way really for Fernando to be in touch with the family about what was going on. But what was it that Fernando shared with you about what Abide in Love's help meant to him?
Well, I mean, he really said that it meant everything because he would not have been able to contact his family if it wasn't for Abide in Love. And I think that that's, you know, something that Abide in Love is trying to make sure people understand, that for $3, they can help these people make contact with their family and can help them start making that connection to figure out what's next for them. Mm-hmm. So that is a big thing. The little comfort items, you know, a little bag of cookies, a pair of underwear, you know, a toothbrush. Those are some of the things that they are also able to provide that can mean a lot when you're in this difficult situation. And Brian mentioned a little bit earlier, Rapid Response STL. Something that's come up since our reporting on this is that now Abide in Love is working with Rapid Response STL and getting the ICE detainees in Rolla into that system where they do at least get a legal intake and might be able to get some legal representation as well. So mm-hmm. They're definitely expanding what they're able to do for these detainees.
Yeah.
Right. And I just to like reemphasize, so there's only immigration courts across the country, but notably in Kansas City and Chicago. There isn't one in St. Louis. So there's a need, you know, for these groups, say, for attorneys that work, you know, in this space and are able to do, you know, work around immigration cases just mm-hmm. because, like I mentioned, they're stretched so thin.
Yeah.
But you start to see partnerships like this, I think, the more time goes on and people find out about what others are doing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, each of you, what do you think is important for us to understand about Fernando's experience at the Phelps County Jail? Brian?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember, I think throughout the discussion and the discourse around immigration, is that this isn't an isolated incident. This isn't an isolated issue in Arizona or on the coast, you know, in big detention centers in, you know, New Jersey or otherwise. You know, the story around immigration runs through the heart of America. It runs through Missouri, and I think people need to remember that very point.
Jonathan, what's important to understand about the volunteers who are helping folks like Fernando, and with the specificity of locale?
I think that it's important to remember that these people all live here. They live here. They've been residents of Rolla and Phelps County. There's already been this accusation that is completely unfounded, that somehow these people aren't local, or that they're getting their money from outside the area, which is not true. These are people who live here, and they care about what goes on in this community. And their motivations they're all the same, but where they come from are kind of interesting. There are certainly some people in this group who probably, you know, they identify as atheists, and they just see this as a moral thing they do. But there's also a number of Christians in this group as well, and they cite the book of Matthew when Jesus said, you know, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they say that's their motivation. Amy Beecher McCarthy is very much motivated by the work of Martin Luther King Jr. So I think that this is a group of people who feel deeply that they can do something small that can have a big impact for people who are the least of their brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. And in the final minute for each of you, I mean, what do you make of the response that this story has gotten so far?
Yeah, I can share a little bit. The comments have been interesting, I think, around this. I think it's very clear there is a good segment of our community that very much falls in the immigration hawk category. There's the argument, you know, well, why aren't you helping all detainees? You know, these folks should have never been in the country to begin with. And, you know, folks can hold that belief. But I think, you know, overall, there's been a lot of folks that have expressed gratitude, you know, that these folks, who a lot of them contend they are here to make a better life for themselves. You know, in the case of Carol Mayorga, you know, she was working. She, you know, was doing all the right things, you know, to be here. And she still got caught in a arguably broken system that's backlogged. And I think there's gratitude, but also criticism about, you know, these folks, whether they should be here or not.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, your take on the reaction to the story?
I think the reaction is just symbolic of the divide in our communities about immigration and immigration policy. I think you're seeing a lot of people who see a Biden Loves work as an inspiration. People are reaching out to them asking how can they do something similar here or where they live. But on the other hand, you also see people who have an attitude that getting somebody some snacks and a toothbrush and a little bit of money to call their loved ones is somehow too good for the people that have been detained at these jails. And they think that they feel no sympathy or empathy at all. So I think that it just is emblematic of how divided we are on this topic.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Ahl and Brian Munoz are St. Louis Public Radio editors. They're reporting on this story titled ICE Detainees Arrive at Jail Scared and Alone, So RALA Activists Are Stepping Up, can be found on our website. That's stlpr.org. Brian and Jonathan, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.